Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. By faith, we understand. If I can draw your attention to verses 5 and 6 and 7, and they preach for themselves. The writer says, get wisdom. Tell somebody, get wisdom. That was weak. Tell somebody, get wisdom. Nudge your baby at home. Tell them, get wisdom. It's an exclamation point at the end of it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Tell somebody else, get understanding. Tap your seat. Tell it, get understanding. Get understanding. Touch the person with you at the house. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget. Stop forgetting stuff. Don't turn away from the words that you hear. Don't swerve. Don't forsake wisdom and understanding. She'll preserve you. Love her, she'll keep you. For wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing, meaning it's the first thing. The writer is saying, you got to hold on to it. And I know we say that God is a keeper, but a part of what keeps you is wisdom and understanding. Get wisdom, though it costs you all you have. Get understanding. In all thy getting, get wisdom. In all thy getting, get understanding. Anybody like new stuff? I'm asking a question. Anybody like new stuff? I know. New stuff. The thing that's so interesting about the human perspective and beauty being in the eye of the beholder is that a value of a thing depends on the person that holds it. And when it comes to new stuff, the truth is that sometimes new stuff is valuable, sometimes old stuff is valuable. It's not just new stuff that's valuable, because you may be in here with some jewelry on that's new and it's valuable, but you also may be in here with some jewelry on that's old that's valuable. You may have a piece of furniture that's really, really new, that's been really newly made and designed by a new designer that's extremely valuable. And then you may have a piece of furniture in your house that's an antique that was made 200 years ago, and it's still extremely valuable. You may have a painting that's painted by one of the newest, most recent artists that is now extremely valuable, or you may have some Picasso or some piece of art that is very old and still very valuable. That the thing about value is, just because it's old don't mean it's not valuable. Oh, God, help me. Just because I'm old don't mean I don't still have value. I'll just talk about, just because there's gray here don't mean there's still not value. Just because it looks like it's too late to you does not mean it's too late for me. Just because it might be too late for you, just because you might be old at 50 don't mean I got to be old at 50. Just because you can't move when you 50 don't mean I can't. Just because you can't do a push-up when you 50 don't mean I can't do a, all right, now I'm really sounding old. Stop, Anthony. What I'm saying to you is, just because it's old doesn't mean it's not valuable. I'm trying to share some new revelation with you, but and I love new music and I love all the new stuff, but just because it's old don't mean it won't touch you. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. Oh, I love all the new stuff, but then every now and then I'm so glad trouble don't last always. I'm so glad trouble don't last always. I was in the car with my son and he started playing Trouble Don't Last Always, and I looked at his little 22-year-old behind and I said, what do you know about this? He said, oh, this song get me through. Because sometimes a song by Timothy Wright saying trouble don't last always, and it don't even sound right. It ain't even mixed all that good, but you need to know trouble don't last always. Who am I talking to? Trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always. I'm so glad just because it's old don't mean it's not valuable. I started quoting, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise. Sometimes that hymn will get you through. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. Sometimes that old hymn will get you through. Some people doubt the Lord. They don't believe his word. They even try to tell me that God is dead, but he's so real. He's real in my soul today. See, I done left somebody. He has washed all my sins away. His love just bubbles over in my soul. I know he's alive because he lives in me. So my point is just because something's old doesn't mean it's not valuable. But with that in mind, I love new. I love me some new stuff. I need a witness. I love me some new stuff. Sometimes when stuff gets too old, I just give it away. I like new things. Some people, when they get stuff new, they save it and put it in the closet and save it for a special occasion. Not me. I'm what you call a new N-word. I can't say it because I'm preaching. I'm a new bigger. I'm a new ligger. I like to wear stuff out the store. I like to put the old shoes in the box and wear the new shoes out. I like to wear that jacket that night. I like new stuff. I like new things. I like new and even some used things, but they're new to me. I call that brand used. May not be brand new, but it's brand used. It's new to me, especially if it'll save me some money. Oop, help me, Holy Ghost. I don't really, really buy new cars because the minute you drive them off the lot, they lose it. I'd much rather buy a car that's 2 or 3 years old and has already lost its value, but it's new to me. And so it's brand used to me. Some of you just got to have a brand new house, and that's nice, but I will gladly take a slightly used house that I can put some work into it, especially if I save some money. I can change the counters. I can change that. I don't need everything new, but my point is we like new stuff, especially my people, us. We like new. We like to go after new things. It's a major factor in our economy, and I said all of that to say, if only we would be as about getting wisdom and understanding as we are about new jackets and new hairstyles and new dresses and new nails and the newest phone and the newest Jordans and the newest jacket and the newest car and the newest house. If in all of our getting, we just got wisdom. If in all of our getting, we just got understanding, if we put a value on new wisdom and new understanding that we put on the newest phone. It's amazing how we'll get new tech and still have the same old mind. You got the newest phone and the newest opportunity to share information across the world with your new phone, and your thought is still where it was 10 years ago. That in all of your getting, the writer is saying, look, in all of your getting, get some wisdom. And all of you getting, get some understanding. I started something last Sunday and started some trouble, got some letters, and it's fine. But in all of your getting of the Spirit, it ought to turn into some understanding. And all of the getting of the Holy Ghost, you ought to get some wisdom. My only point, didn't mean to offend No Shade Matt. My only point is, if you really got the Holy Ghost, then you ought to understand some stuff. If you really got the Spirit, then there ought to be a knowledge that you have that you would not have without it. Your Holy Spirit, see now I'm about to say something, Tyra's about to get me in trouble. But your Holy Spirit is a waste of an emotional experience if it doesn't turn into some kind of revelation. Because when the Spirit is poured out, you ought to dream a dream. Oh, I wish I hadn't went. When the Spirit is poured out, you ought to have some kind of vision. When you got the Holy Spirit, stuff makes sense that don't make sense. When you got the Holy Spirit, you really got it, then you start getting analogies from stuff that you wouldn't normally get. Something fly through and you're like, woo, that is just like the Lord. You just start to see the Lord in everything. That in all of your getting, I know, and I grew up in a church, and I'm not trying to be critical of it, but I grew up in a church where we went there to shout. We went there to feel God. We went there to sense his presence. We went there to know that the Holy Ghost was there. We wanted the Holy Spirit to break out, and we wanted somebody to shout, and we wanted to sense it. We wanted to feel it, and me too. I got that, but I'm not knocking it because I needed it too, and I need it now. But after the feelings are done, can I understand something? Can I get some wisdom? If only my people would get wisdom and understanding. That word get wisdom, that word wisdom there, take a quick minute just to break it down. That word wisdom there in the Hebrew, I know the word, I can't say the word because in the Hebrew it's a word. In English, it don't sound that great. It's got a sound to it that's a little offensive. So I'm not going to say the word. It's not that I don't know the word, but the word wisdom in the Hebrew, this particular word, has several meanings to it. And I want to throw it out to you really quickly just for your personal edification. When the word says get wisdom, when Solomon says get wisdom, though it costs you everything you have, when Solomon says, woman, all are you getting, get wisdom, what does he mean? The word wisdom in the Hebrew means several things. The first thing it means is skill in war. Number one, skill in war. Meaning, in all of your getting, learn how to fight. In all of your getting, and don't know how to fight physically. Don't be somebody that knows how to fight physically and don't know how to fight mentally and don't know how to fight spiritually and don't know how to fight yourself and don't know how to fight negativity. Don't know how to fight sleeplessness. Don't know how to fight difficulty. And all of your getting, learn how to fight. Learn how to fight financially. And all of your getting, get a skill to do battle. Don't allow yourself to be unprepared for a harsh world. Understand, the world is not nice. The world is a tough place. So in all of your getting, he says, get wisdom, meaning skill in war. That's the first meaning in the Hebrew. The second meaning is administration. The writer is saying, don't get the Holy Ghost and not get organized. Don't have more Jesus than organization. Don't have more and without some kind of line. Don't get all kinds of spiritual sense and not get some kind of a plan. Somebody that can organize the thing. Somebody that can translate it into a way that organized people can understand it. Because banks don't care about your Holy Ghost. I need a witness in the building. They don't care. They don't care about how anointed the service was. They care about whether or not you could give an accounting of what you had and what you got going. And many of us who have bad credit, we don't have it because we don't want to pay our bills. We have it because we're not administrative and organized enough to really pay stuff on time. Ooh, God. But this went right over our heads on that one. Like, move on past Annie because you hurt my feelings. But the truth of the matter is that in all of your getting, get administration. In all of your getting, the third meaning of wisdom is shrewdness. Shrewdness. It, in essence, means control. It means be shrewd. It means don't get overly excited about something. Don't get overly excited about a purchase. Make a shrewd investment. Be shrewd. Be wise. Be smart. My daughter recently moved to California, and so I gave her car to one of my sons, because that's what happens. She get the new car, they get the leftover. So I gave her car to one of the dudes, and now I said, well, when you move to California, we'll get you a car when we get there. She said, okay. As we were going to the lot, I said, now look, pretty girl, don't get too excited about any car you see. I need a witness in the building. Because they know I'm your daddy and you my daughter. And if you get too excited, then I can't get no deal. I need you to kind of act like you don't really like this car that much. So I can walk around it and spit on it and kick the tires and be like, don't nobody care about this car. I'll get a better deal if we're shrewd. This is not the time to be jumping up and down. This is the time for you to be as chill as possible. Go in the bathroom and shout about the color and then come out and say, I don't care about no color. I need you to control yourself. I wish I had a witness. So many folk got the Holy Ghost and don't have self-control. If you really got the Spirit, you ought to be able to have some control over your emotions. I tell y'all the story how I was in the mall, and folk come up to me in the mall all the time, and welcome, hallelujah. Now, I'm not bothered by it. And a guy came up to me, and he said, Pastor Andy. And I said, hey, man. He said, I need you to pray for me. I said, all right. He said, come on, just pray. I said, no, I can't pray without knowing what I'm praying for. What am I praying for? He said, nah, man, they're getting ready to fire me. I know it. I can feel it. They're about to fire me. And I said, oh, they're about to fire you. Okay. I said, what are they about to fire you for? See, folks don't want this. Pastor Andy, man, come on, dude. Just pray. They have so much faith in my Holy Ghost miracle power. Can you just pray, please? I'm like, all right, I'll pray. But son, what are they about to fire you for? Oh, I wish you just pray. What is it? Well, I got here like 15 minutes late, you know, and then they got upset at me, and then I said something back, and I said, wait. So you were late. Wait. See, this is good. You were late. Wait. Let's stop. But time out. Flag on the play. You were late 15 minutes. And the supervisor had the nerve to say something to you about being late. Who does he think he is? I said that to him. He's like, you know what I'm saying, Pastor Eddie? I said, nah, bro, you're missing me. He the supervisor. What you say back? Pastor Andy, can you just pray? I said, no. What did you say back? I told him to be careful how he talked to me. I said, dude, do you need this job? I said to him, you sound too broke to be mad. Is there anybody in the room? You are too broke to be mad. I wish I had a witness. You're too broke to be angry. I said, are you independently wealthy? He said, no, really, I need this job. I said, then you can't get mad. If you need the job, you're not in a position to get upset. You're not. I said, now, I'm going to pray for you, but if you have faith in prayer, then that means you have faith in God. And you can't have faith in God and not say sorry to God. And how can you say sorry to a God you don't see and can't say sorry to a supervisor that you do see? Oh, see, this is where. If you trust me to pray for you, then in that same vein, the faith also says, hey, I'm sorry. I'm tripping. Please don't. If you can say, Jesus, please. If you can say please to God, then you can say to the supervisor, my bad. Please, I need this job. I was tired. I'm tripping. I'm sorry. And I said, I'll pray for you, but when I'm done, go back there and tell that man you sorry. Because as powerful as my prayer is, it can't overcome your mouth. Woo! Let me move on. Be shrewd. We just out of control. And then number four, the fourth thing that wisdom means is it means prudence. It means balance. It means wisdom means that there's a balance. Now, I know I talk about balance a lot, but balance is one of the hardest things to do. For anybody that's in any kind of shape, anybody that looks like they do anything physical, if you want to add something more difficult to it, throw balance in it. You think you curl until you lift a leg. You throw that balance in there and you add, because balance is one of the most difficult things to do. And in our world and in our day and in our time and in our culture, we have a tendency to go from one ditch to the other. We go from a black president to a whole, we go from one side to the next. We go from a black president to Pope storming the Capitol. We just go from one extreme to the other. We want to go from women having no power to men. We want to go from one far extreme to the next. Got quiet on that. Not saying I don't want you to have power. I'm just saying that we have to be careful that we find the balance. We want to go from all the way heathen to all the way Holy Ghost. Without saying, life got some Holy Ghost in it. Life got some heathen in it. See, nobody wanted to say amen on that one because we're in church. But the truth of the matter is that right now we're being spiritual. Soon as this is done, we're going to be carnal. As soon as this service is over, we're going to be carnal. I want everybody in the room to say amen. Everybody watching all around the world, say amen. The minute the service is done, you're going to be carnal. Some of you are going to be battling being carnal when I start to pray. Because your carnality says, let's get out of here before the rush. Come on, say amen. Your carnality is like, I know there's about 1,000 people in here. Let's get out of here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, grab, come on. Shh. He's starting to pray while his eyes are closed, where he don't see. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Some of you, your stomach's growling right now. You're carnal. You really had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be hungry. But that, and that, what time does Biscuitville close exactly again? That is carnal. Y'all are some carnal Christians. You need Jesus. Anybody like peach cobbler? Carnal. Anybody like ice cream and cake and cake? Ice cream and cake? Like, raise your hand, heavy people. Carnal. Any dude in here got a wife? If you're a dude and have a wife, raise your hand. Carnal, 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 carnal. As soon as church is over, you're like, what's up? So, hey, what's going on later? It's the Lord's Day. You're carnal. And the mistake that the church makes is we act like it's all spiritual and no carnal. And so the wisdom is the balance. He says get wisdom. He says get understanding. Man, 17 minutes. Get understanding. Understanding is the ability to think, the ability to reason. And beloved, we have to understand. Everybody say we have to understand. Come on, everybody say we have to understand. Can everybody at home say we have to understand? We have to understand. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of church. Now what it says. My people are destroyed for a lack of Holy Ghost. That's not what it says. People are destroyed for a lack of Jesusness. That's not what it says. It says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So in all you're getting, you have to get understanding. There's an understanding that we have to get. We have no choice. We can no longer allow ourselves to just be so super spiritual that we don't have any understanding. And that idea, that word, the idea of we got to get wisdom, we got to get understanding, beloved, it has caused me to see Hebrews 11 in a whole nother way. And I know if you listen to me preach enough, you've heard me preach on Hebrews 11 probably quite a bit because it's a faith passage and I feel like I'm a faith preacher and I'm always telling you it means something different than what I said that it meant. But I realize now that a part of what Hebrews 11 is talking about is that by faith we understand. By faith, we understand. And that Hebrews 11 lays out some things that we have to understand if we want to be successful, not just in church, but in life. Some stuff we have to understand. If we're going to be what we want to be and need to be in these 85, 90 years on this planet that we have, then in all of our getting, we have to get some understanding. Now, before I talk about understanding, because we just finished singing a song that says, I will hide thy word in my heart and lean not to your own understanding. Let me just say, let me give you a quick caveat before I tell you the things that I see in Hebrews 11 that we have to understand that will lead us to success in any area. Let me just say that our understanding will always be limited. There will always be a limit to your understanding. Although I'm talking about getting an understanding, just realize I acknowledge that my understanding is partial. My understanding is limited. I was in the mall the other day, again, in the mall. Young woman came up to me, and she said, Pastor Andy, and I said, hey, sweetheart. And she just was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I bumped into you. I need you to pray for me. And I said, okay, sweetheart, what's going on? And she proceeded to tell me that her brother, who was 20, was shot and killed a few weeks ago or a month ago or something, and her 20-year-old brother shot and killed, and she is devastated. And I'm like, yeah, sweetheart, you are devastated. Your 20-year-old brother got murdered. There isn't anything. I pray for you. But the truth of the matter is that any death is painful. I need a witness in the building. So don't feel bad about it. Don't feel like if you had more Jesus, you wouldn't feel the way you feel. This is your brother. He was murdered when he was 20. And you gonna feel how you feel. She said to me, well, the real thing is I just can't understand it. I figured I would talk to you, Pastor Andy. You'd help me understand it. I said, sweetheart, let me tell you the truth. I've been preaching almost 40 years, and there's certain stuff that just don't make sense. There's things that you will never really understand. I said to her, if you buy a car, own a car. You driving somebody else's car, you just driving, you renting cars. You own a car, there's an understanding of cars that you have that's different. You start to understand oil changes. You start to understand windshield wiper fluid. You start to understand wiper blades. You start to understand tire pressure. You start to understand about the balance. You understand tire rotation. You start to understand that you gain an understanding of a vehicle. You know, you own a house. When you own it, when you own a house, you gain an understanding that you did not have before you owned it. But even though you understand wiper blades and fluids, that don't mean you know how to put this engine together. That don't make you a mechanic. So that means that there is a level that you understand and there's a level that you don't understand. But just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that you don't use the vehicle to get to where you need to get to. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. I said, sweetheart, I know you want God and church and the kingdom and pastor to help you understand. But where you can't understand, let me tell you what. There have been times when I could not understand, but I strapped myself into this Jesus thing, and this kingdom thing got me through my dark place. Do I have a witness? I used it as a vehicle when I couldn't understand. If the only thing this can be for you is understanding, and it's challenging when you're 20 because you live in the information age and you live in the age of this and you think you can just look everything up and know everything, but you live long enough and there's stuff that you won't understand. You won't understand why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. You won't understand that. If you have some kind of theology in your mind that negativity and bad stuff is some kind of punishment from God, life will re-educate you about that very quickly. you will have a Job moment in which you realize you prayed and you taught and you did everything right and still hell broke loose. Who am I talking to besides just myself? You did right and still you were attacked. Life has a way. And if all you can do is understand, then there's an aspect of this that you will always miss. So before I start talking about what we have to understand, just get it. I realize there's some things I can't understand. And when I can't understand, I say, well, Lord, we'll understand it better by and by. Well, Lord, I'm going to strap myself and love you anyway. Well, Lord, I'm going to stick tight with you and be close with you and be faithful and use this as a vehicle to get from where I am to where I want to be. But understanding that, Hebrews 11 says, and the New King James Version, especially the heading, if you have a New King James Version, if you have the version on your phone or on your iPad or whatever, you'll see the heading at the top of Hebrews 11 is, by faith we understand. Which isn't what I planned, but when I went to look at it, I said, oh my God, Lord, that's what you're saying. There's things that we understand by faith, we understand. So when I look at Hebrews 11 now, I see these seven things. Of course, I see seven. Elder Paul, of course, that's what I see. I see seven things that you have to understand if you're going to be successful. And I got 8 minutes left. Let me share them with you really quickly. It's number one, it says, by faith. Now, faith is something hoped for, evidence things not seen. And for it is by how the elders obtain their report. And he says, by faith, we understand that the world was created and framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. So the first thing that you have to understand by faith is what I'm calling mouth magic. Mouth magic. That's what I'm calling it. Mouth magic. Because magic, which is not real, but magic is somebody says something and something happens. Magic-a-moo, a bizzic-a-boo, a bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, and something happens. And an incantation that makes something happen. It's based on something real because your world is framed by your words. So if you're going to have success, you're going to be good, you're going to be straight, you're going to do well, you're going to play well, you're going to do what you need to do. If that's going to happen, you got to get your mouth together. There's nothing anybody can do for you if you curse yourself with your mouth. So by faith, we understand that everything we see was made at the word of God, was made so that what is seen was made out of something that wasn't seen. That if I could get my mouth together, I can make stuff happen that you don't see now. And that things that are now invisible can become visible if I can just put my mouth on it. I can speak something into existence. It's not just name it, claim it, confess it. It's that my world is framed by my words. You have to understand that if you're going to be successful. You're never going to have success if you have a mouth that is always speaking negative. I wish I had a witness because it's just a hard word. I've preached on it before, but it's still very difficult not to speak negative things and not to be focused on negative things. But number one, we understand by faith. Number one, we understand that the word was framed by the word of God, which means words have power. Number two, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. So number two, I'm going to give you all seven really quickly. Number two, the second thing that we have to understand is sacrifice. We have to understand sacrifice. I'm going to spend some time breaking them all down in the weeks to come. But we have to understand sacrifice. If you don't understand sacrifice, there's a level of success you will never have. You'll never have it if you don't understand sacrifice. It's not just sacrifice for church. Sure, I'm going to take up an offering in a couple of minutes for our second offering for the building fund and the vision, and you can pay on your pledge. Yep, but it's bigger than just sacrificing for church. It's sacrificing for sport. It's sacrificing for school. It's sacrificing for money. It's sacrificing for that. You have to know how to sacrifice. It's sacrificing for that part. It's sacrifice. And if you lose your ability to sacrifice, you lose your ability to be successful. So by faith, we understand mouth magic, words have power. By faith, we understand that sacrifice is something we have to get sacrifice if we're going to be successful. By faith, Enoch walked with God. So by faith, we have to understand relationship. Relationship. So Enoch walked with God and was no more. It's all in Hebrews 11. Enoch walked with God and was no more. The Lord took him because he was one who found that he pleased God. And pleasing God is the foundation of relationship, because you can't have a relationship with anybody if you don't please them. You won't have a relationship with a friend if you only please yourself. You won't have a relationship with a man if you're only pleasing yourself. You won't have a relationship with a woman if you're only pleasing yourself. You won't have a relationship with your child if you're only pleasing yourself. You won't have a relationship with your parent if you're only pleasing yourself. Your relationship is based on, can you meet someone else's measure? I'm not trying to walk that heavy. It got quiet. But a part of what has happened now is we are so serious about our own measure. Men are so serious about their own measure. Got you, dude. Got you, man. Got you, alpha male. No doubt about it. As much as you need to know what your measure is, I'm all with it. But when you're done feeling yourself, if you're going to have a woman, you got to understand her measure at some level. So glad you're empowered, girl. So glad you done made your money, boo-boo. So glad you got your degree. So glad you're feeling yourself. Awesome, wonderful, amazing. You're going to have a man. Then you are going to have to understand what is a man's measure. And you can't shut him up just because he tells you what his measure is. See how quiet it got then on that one? Ain't get no amens on that one. If he says to you, well, I don't like that, you're going to have to hear that. You can't get emotional if he shares with you his measure, because if you don't please him, you won't keep him. If you can't please her, you got, but see, that's the foundation of relationship, is being one who's found able to please. And many of us lose relationship with our children because we lose the ability to please them. And I'm talking about when they grown, not when they babies. Don't nobody care about pleasing them when they babies. I'm talking about when they grown. Many of us don't have a very close relationship with our parents because you 27 and your mama think you 8. And so my point is the foundation of relationship is, and you won't really be successful in life by yourself. Life by yourself ain't fun. Oh, well, I'm just going to stay in the house and buy everything online and not go nowhere, and I can get all my church through the phone. I'm telling you, you're setting yourself up for a bad life. You got to have a relationship with, I don't trust nobody no more. Horrible thing to say. You got to trust someone. Got to have a friend. You got to have somebody on your side. You got to have somebody to drive your Bronco. I never should say that, OJ. You got to have somebody that's got your back. You got to have somebody that will come. You have to have somebody that you can tell your truth to that won't judge you. Number 4, he says, by faith, Noah was warned. So the 4th thing we have to understand is we have to understand fear. We have to understand fear. We have to understand warning. We have to understand fear. We have a tendency, especially now, that we don't want any fear at all. But fear isn't necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes fear helps. And all fear can't be wrapped in praise. Some fear has to be left as fear. This is one of the reasons why I fuss the way I do at mamas today. And forgive me, I might get on you a little bit, but to me, today's mama is like a flight attendant. It's like so happy that you're flying first class. It's like joy with the child in the morning. Oh my God, good morning. My mama was not a flight attendant. My mama was a drill sergeant. When I got on my mama's plane, she said, sit down. I wish I had a witness. She said it in a way that made me sit down. She said, put that seatbelt on. She didn't say, okay, thank you for flying Delta. Now, can you sit down, please? Thank you very much. Oh, good boy, you sat down. She didn't say, the flight attendant leans down and says, we need you to turn your phone off and strap your seatbelt. That's y'all. Hi, it's 2 a.m. Now, I need you to go to bed. You're a flight attendant. My mama said, if you got out the bed, I wish I had it. I know I'm messing. If you were 3 and I got out the bed, the look I got from my mother was incredulity. I cannot believe you are out of the bed. You have lost your entire mind getting out of the bed, let alone coming in my room. You're crazy. Are you out of your seat while the plane is in the air? Sit down. It's tone. And it's because you're afraid of them to be afraid. See how quiet it got? I'm going to keep on messing because it's true. I'm trying to help you. They were over my house the other day, one of them little ones. And, you know, God kid's child. And he about to go down the stairs. And I said, hey, don't go down them stairs. The way I said it made him be like, ooh. Not, okay, listen, don't go down. That is confusing. If you are going to understand language, then you have to understand that your facial expressions and your vocal intonation has an impact on the communication of an idea. You do understand that. You can't say, don't go downstairs, please. Okay, love you. That's not how it works. You got to say, hey, sit down. I said, hey, he said, holy crap, who is that? I said, yeah, Papa's house. Don't you go down them stairs. He came right over. Right away, they go to praising. Good listening. Because we want to wrap fear in praise. But sometimes fear just need to sit. I need a witness in the building. Sometimes you just need to be scared, and you just scared. I wish I had a witness in the building that had. I know I'm not the only one that had a mama who said, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Can I get it? Come on, talk to me, older. And you just in your room like, is she going to kick me out? Is she going to kill me? Can I go to sleep? You catch your mama standing over you with a pillow. Like, it's like, I don't know what this chick is crazy. Look, want to be good mama? Every now and then, your baby got to think, this lady crazy. I need a witness. This lady crazy. I don't know what this chick will do. Did you see that look she gave me? But see, we don't want to understand fear. But you can't have success if you don't understand fear. Fear. Number 5, obedience. By faith, Abraham obeyed even though he didn't know where he was going. You have to understand obedience. By faith, 6, moderation. He lived in a tent because he was looking forward to a city whose builder and maker was God. Meaning he's thinking, I'll live in a tent for a while. Because I'm looking forward to something greater. You have to understand moderation and delay gratification if you're going to be successful. By faith, Sarah received a child even though it was late. Number seven, you have to understand time. You won't be successful if you don't understand time. You won't be successful in these 85 years if you don't get time. The Bible says, teach us to number our days aright, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. The power is not just that they had children. The power is they had children when it was supposed to be too late. But just because it's too late in the earth don't mean it's too late with God. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. I have to have an understanding of time so that I'll know how God is really stepping in. But if I'm going to be successful in these 85 years, then by faith, I have to understand mouth power. By faith, I have to understand sacrifice. By faith, I have to understand relationships. By faith, I have to have a good grip on fear. By faith, I got to have a good grip on obedience. By faith, I got to have a good grip on moderation. This is not the time for that yet. Maybe this ain't the time to be blinging. Maybe this ain't the time to be balling. Maybe this is time to be working. So I can live in a tent now so that I can live in a mansion later. But maybe this is not the time to live in a mansion. Maybe this ain't the time to have that now. I have to be able to moderate so I can be successful. I'll never really have anything if I'm so insecure. I got to have everything now. By faith, I understand, yeah, I can live in a tent. So can Isaac, so can Jacob, because we're looking forward to a city. By faith, I have moderation. By faith, I have a grasp of time. I know how old I am. I know how young I am. I know what's happening. I know what's going on in the generation. I know what's happening today. I have an understanding of what happened yesterday. I have an understanding of what happened tomorrow. I got an idea of what may happen tomorrow. I'm taking a look at it. I'm watching it. I'm trying to see. I remember there was a real estate crash in 2008. This looks like that. I know what happened then, so I know what happens now. I'm not so Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost that I'm not aware that this is the time I live in. That by faith, I gain an understanding. If you heard a word from the Lord, put your hands together and bless him really quickly. Come on, somebody bless the Lord. Come on, you really bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to give? Just the armor bearers, the gatekeepers are jumping up. If you need an offering envelope, you can simply raise your hand and one of the gatekeepers will come to you quickly and give you an offering envelope. And we've been taking up a second offering, just building fund. And we're in the middle of the building fund. And you can take a picture of that thing right there and that QR code. And if you're watching live around the world, I invite you to give. Lately, we've been talking within our own staff about a group that we're calling the Nevers, people that live in Never Never Land. When you live in Never Never Land, just understand that you're never really going to grow up living in Never Never Land. Thank you. I see hands going up. People need an envelope. And am I inviting you to give? You can give to the Word, but also we're giving to this building fund project. I want you to know that as long as you live in Never Never Land, you're a little child. So if you've never, ever given, we're talking about the Nevers. If you've never given, you live in Never Never Land. It's only but so mature you're ever going to be if you've never given. So if you're watching right now, live around the world, you've never given an offering, might I challenge you for this to be the first time you ever give? And if you can't give a tithe, if you don't have faith to give a tithe, give 10. New thing I'm saying. Don't have faith to give a tithe, give 10. Just give God $10. But give God something. Because we're in a moment now, this building fund, and I know many of us grow up in churches where they do building fund offering every single solitary week. That's not World Overcomers. Because right now we are actually in a building fund and we are building this property called Victory Park. And it's this huge sports complex place. It's not just something we're doing for the community. It is when you get in my vision of it, when you get there, it's the parking that's there, but there's fields there. And then there's basketball courts outside. And then when you go inside, there's a lobby. And then there's this big, huge cafe type area to the right with Wi-Fi. And to the left, there's nursery. Children's ministry is in a separate building. And then when you go through the little thing, it's basketball court, basketball court, basketball court, basketball court. And at the back of the court is this glassed-in sanctuary, and that there will be people on it all the time that don't even go to the church. It will be something that will significantly impact the community, that it will be a building that will pay for itself. Because in my estimation, it doesn't make a lot of sense to build a building that generates costs 30 days out the month that you pay for four times. That's silly. And so what I'm trying to do is for us to build something that won't be dependent on tithes and offerings. Can I get an amen on that one? Doesn't mean we won't tithe, don't mean we won't give, but what it will mean is that the money that we're spending for the building will be something we'll be able to use to really enhance the lives of people and significantly impact our community. This building is this land that we own. It's on 70. It's not even 3 miles from here. Had a meeting with the governor's office. I'm meeting with them. They know what's going on. Beloved, this is big time. And we are about to build this thing in the next 2 years. We have 2 years left on this lease. We are about to be free from BPG. Can I get a witness in the building? You may not know this, but I'm telling you now, and I'm telling the world, that the minute we own this building, our monthly cost for space will be half of what it is now. We are in a situation where it is literally half cheaper for us to own than lease. These leases have been nice. We grew very big. We grew very quickly. We were able to do. We got 140,000 square feet of space here. We're the biggest tenant here. They don't treat us like we're the biggest tenant. They won't let us have signage. They towing cars. Okay. They don't want us to put the name church on the building. Okay. It is time for us to be free. Anybody ready to be free? I said, anybody ready to be free? And you might think your $5 don't matter, but your $5 matter. You don't think your $10 don't matter, but your $10 matter. Your $10 matter. And now, can I challenge you as a pastor, as a father, as a man in the faith, don't put more in your gut. As soon as we leave, you're going to be carnal. I was trying to let y'all go at 11:30 so bad, but it's almost 12 o'clock. And I'm about to let you go because my stomach's, as soon as I walk off this stage, carnality. Muffins, cornbread, something going in this mouth. So what I'm saying is, I feel you, but beloved, let's not be more carnal than spiritual, please. But if you bought that new Popeye's chicken sandwich and have it given to the building fund, shame on you. Don't about to say amen on that. If you have the Starbucks app on your phone, so that you drink so much flavored water. I got quiet now. You drink so much flavored water that you get points for every drink you get. That's fine. Just don't do that more than this vision that God has given us. Amen. If you haven't made a pledge, it's still not too late. You can get a card. You can make a pledge. We ask people to pledge at least $1,000 over 2 years. Not $1,000 a month, not $1,000 a year, just $1,000 over a 2-year period. It's not even $10 a week. 52 weeks in a year, if you give $10, that's $520. You do that for 2 years straight, you just gave $1,000. It's $10. You spend that on lunch. Talk to me. You spend that eating out. Come on, in the room, talk to me. It's not a lot of money. Not asking. Yeah, I'm sitting down when I'm meeting with the top givers and I'm asking them for money. But for all of you, I'm asking you, it's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. I'm asking you to make a pledge. Quite honestly, $1,000 isn't even a lot of money. Not over a 2-year period, it's not. You really ought to have more faith than that. I want everybody in the room to say amen. You know, you just can't be God-given. And you don't know what the Lord will do for you if you actually are giving and you actually are determined to be a part of his work. Can I get a witness in the building? This may be the beginning. For many of you who never have tithed before, this may be the beginning of you building the faith you need to actually give. Because when you are a giver, God blesses you. Can I get a witness in the building? I need a witness in the building. When you give, can I get a witness? When you give, something, somehow God makes stuff happen. Somehow God makes a way where there seems. Somehow you end up in situations that you can't explain. Somehow there is stuff that goes on. Somehow you end up at the right table with the right person, with the right meeting and the right thing and the right situation because there's favor on your life. And there can be favor on your life even when you don't give, but your favor goes to another level when you're a giver. If you could ever put your trust in God and not give way to fear and be a giver, something happens. Something happens. And I want to invite you to give. I want to invite you to be used of God, because something happens when you're faithful. Contemplating whether or not I'm going to say something or not, and I guess I'm going to say it, even though I may get in trouble for it. The truth of the matter is, beloved, that World Overcomers has always been a ministry of excellence. We've always been determined to do ministry in an excellent way. And there's a significant percentage of people that go to World Overcomers or come to World Overcomers have been in a New Year's Eve service or an Easter service or some kind of service like that, particularly our black, our people, because World Overcomers has consistently been about 99% black. The white folk who really, really go here are white men married to black women, and we just count y'all as black now. Elder Paul has black sons, that makes him black. Yeah, you're black. Holla. You did something smart. You was like, I'm going to get me a fine little black girl. That's what I'm going to do instead of getting one of these. Anyway, my point is what I'm saying is we've been 99% black. And a significant percentage of our people can't really afford this level of ministry. With the air and the lights and the cameras and the smoke. And these musicians play this well because they're paid. And so what that means is, when you go to a black church and you tithe to a black church, your sacrifice benefits people that can't afford it. If you ever decide that instead of just thinking about yourself and what you get, and then, because for most black people to get this level quality of ministry, they have to go to a white church. I'm gonna get in trouble now. I gotta get off the stage. I gotta leave. I'm gonna get in trouble. But what I'm saying to you is, when you give, this thing we're going to do, this building we're about to build, do you understand the kind of lives that will be impacted? Do you understand the young people that will walk onto that campus and walk in and sit down and have a conversation with someone that says, hey, I just graduated from Southern and I want to go to college. And they will say, all right, let's work this out. Not only can we help you with this and that, but we got scholarship plans and things to help you be the best you that you can be. And they can do that, and they can get it from their own people. I'm gonna leave it alone right there. What I'm saying to you is, that is what you are being a part of. Your sacrifice, your tithe, your giving doesn't just benefit you. It benefits your people. And you can't be in the palace and not think about your people. You have come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. Let me pray for you. Lord, bless this offering. Bless gift and giver. Bless everyone that heard me. Bless everyone who might be bothered. That's okay. Bless everybody that agrees. Bless everybody that don't agree. That's okay. God, you know what is happening to us in this country. You know what we are dealing with. And so, God, we pray that your anointing would rest on us and all of us, Lord, who we have blessed and put favor, power, and anointing and gifting and money in our hands. God, as we give, not just to your kingdom, but as we bless our own people, have your way in us. Take this offering and multiply it supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes, you jump on your feet, and I'll pray for you, and we can all run and get a biscuit really quickly. I had a friend in town the other day, and I took them to Biscuitville. They had never been there before, and I should really get some kind of endorsement from Biscuitville, but oh, the anointing. Oh, the blessing on the biscuit. So as the offering bucket passes you, thank you so much for your giving. Thank you so much for your determination to be faithful. Elder Paul sent me a scripture this morning, and the passage of 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, "Remind the wealthy to be rich in remarkable works of extravagant generosity, willing to share with others." Elder Paul was praying, and the Lord told him, God is going to make wealthy people. Look favorably. I believe in God right now that God is going to make the wealthy look favorably, not just on us, but on you. Anybody got that? Anybody believe that? The main praying elder at this church said, God spoke to him and said, God is going to make the rich full. God is going to make the wealthy look favorably on you. Anybody need favor, 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 God, favor. Scholarships, favor. God, doors open, favor. Lord, blessings, favor. Make a way for us. God, thank you for favor on us. Favor on this, favor on that, favor all around us. Thank you for favor in the front, favor on the back, favor on the left, favor on the right. Thank you, Lord God, for this moment. Thank you for the word we heard that by faith we understand. Now dismiss us as we leave from this place. Cover us with your blood. Everyone that's watching live stream around the world, bless them, anoint them. Power rest on them. Have your way in us till we all are able to come together again, and we'll bless you. God, we pray as we always pray. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give them peace. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming to church this morning. Give somebody a pound, elbow somebody, bless somebody. See you next Sunday. God bless you.